If you get a smile on your face when you hear,
oh yeah,
or you've ever used the phrase,
to be the man, you gotta beat the man,
then get ready for the hottest hour in radio as Cody Wyoming's own WWE Hall of Famer Eric Bischoff and his tag team partner Conrad the Podfather Thompson turn up the temperature and take your calls live on For the Heat.
And what's it gonna do?
Welcome to For the Heat, right here on KODI, coming to you live from the rodeo capital of the world. I'm your host, Eric Bischoff. Joining me is the Podfather, Conrad Thompson. You can hear us both on our Godzilla of a podcast each and every week on 83 weeks, wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And we want to hear from you tonight, if you're tuning in right now, across the world at fortheheat.com. We appreciate you listening, but give us a call. Let's talk a little wrestling today at 855-484-3432. And don't forget to catch that stream every single Wednesday night at fortheheat.com.
And you can follow me on Twitter, if you so choose, at ebischoff, or reach out to Conrad at hey, hey, it's Conrad. And tonight, we've got a hot show, man. We're gonna pack it. We're going to pack this one full. We're going to be covering the latest Dark Side of the Ring episode that we just saw on Vice TV, all about Brian Pillman. I'm looking forward to getting into that stark contrast to what we saw on the Randy Savage biography on A&E. WWE's WrestleMania Backlash, the pay-per-view coming up this Sunday night. We're going to cover that. We're going to hear all about what we can look forward to. Ricky Starks from AEW. Kind of a serious neck injury. Interesting topic of conversation there. Jake Paul. We're gonna talk a lot about Jake Paul. I got questions about that. Jinder Mahal's return to action at WWE. We got a big show tonight. But Conrad, I got one question, man. Are you rolling any tide tonight in Crimson Country?
What's wrong with you? That's not what you say, Eric. That's not the phrase. It's roll tide, you see.
Yeah, but if you're telling somebody to roll tide, then somebody's rolling the tide.
No, I think you're taking it too literally, but we all had a good time last week. Well, maybe not you. I've been curious about this. Of course, last Thursday night on Vice, we saw Dark Side of the Ring, and we're all so glad it's back. It's probably the best series of its kind ever, and it airs Thursday nights on Vice TV. But last week was a special double episode on the Loose Cannon, Brian Pillman. And boy, I can't wait to get your reaction, because Brian's old pal, Mr. Wood, Kim Wood, he was not so polite to you, and I can't wait to get your response. Did you see the episode last week, Eric?
I did, and we're going to talk about it as soon as we come back from this break. All right, Conrad, I'm really anxious to talk. Let's get all the positives out of the way, because I can just tell by the tone in your voice that whoever Kim Wood is going to set me off. And I'm trying real hard not to do that. This is radio. This isn't our podcast. We've got to watch our language. I've got to be careful what I say and all that. So let's talk about the good stuff, man. What did you like best about it?
I think, you know, they made Brian Pillman Jr. a huge baby face. I'm hopeful that we see him tonight on Dynamite. I know he got a good reaction last night on their sort of B show on YouTube, which is Elevation. He's been positioned as a tag team wrestler with Griff Garrison, and I think now they've got a valet with them. And I just think, you know, I'm pulling for Brian Jr. more than ever as a result of what we saw last week. And I think the MVP of the episode is probably Linda Pillman. And she's not just the MVP of the episode, but a real life MVP, the MVP of the whole family. I don't know how you couldn't fall in love with her. I think everybody needs an Aunt Linda. What stuck out to you, Eric?
Well, let me first comment on Aunt Linda. I agree with you, but for our listeners who didn't happen to check out that episode, and you know, Linda, the Brian Pillman story is a sad story in some respects. Brian passed away way too young of a drug overdose. The family was dysfunctional prior to that sad event and became even more dysfunctional afterwards. And Linda Pillman, now correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm capable of making a mistake on the air. Linda Pillman was Brian's sister?
That's right.
Okay. Linda Pillman it was the sane one in the entire family and really took care of Brian Pillman's kids and really stood out. And I agree with you. She was the star, the MVP of life, not just this show. Now, what I liked about it best was the balance. A complete opposite of what we saw with the Randy Savage interview or biography on A&E. This was a well-balanced story because it told the truth about Brian and his issues. But at the end of this episode, and this is where the art of doing television or telling a story in any format, this is where the art comes in. I left, when that show went off the air, I felt hopeful. That was the first word that popped into my mind. I felt hopeful overall, maybe because I just saw a great biography after what I had experienced the week before. It was really good. It told a great story. But it was positive. It took what was obviously a sad story, but it gave you hope at the end. And I think that's the kind of journey I want to go on when I see something like this.
It had all the elements of a great movie or a great wrestling match. It took you on a roller coaster. I mean, you were happy, you were sad, you were excited. It was well done. And they're doing another one this Thursday. It's going to be on Nick Gage. I'm just curious. Do you even know who Nick Gage is, Eric?
Yeah, I do. And I'm gonna miss that one. No, and look, no disrespect intended, but I like to seek out the things that I know I'm going to enjoy. And I think Nick Gage, nothing but respect for him. He happens to be involved in a style of wrestling that just doesn't tickle my particular fancy. So I'm not interested.
Well, he is a great guy and he has a phenomenal story and I hope our listeners will check it out. And speaking of our listeners, I think we have a caller right now. And if you want to be next up, give us a shout at 855-484-3432. Eric, do we have a caller there?
Well, let's find out. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
This is Dan from Chicago. How you guys doing? I'm from your ad-free network as well.
Hey, Dan, we're doing great. What's up tonight?
Oh, this is an honor to talk to Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson. I'm like flying high because I listen to you guys every week. Conrad, your team is amazing every week, every day. I got content to listen to at work, and it makes my day go by very, very fast. So thank you very much to everybody.
Oh, thank you, man. We appreciate your support and appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Well, I want to talk about what you guys were talking about last week with the Macho Man documentary. I don't want to be a punk, but the rumor and innuendo is, and you know where I'm going with this, the reason why I think it was such a messed up situation in that second hour, does Vince McMahon have control over that documentary?
All right, I'm going to jump in on this one, Conrad. And by the way, I appreciate the extra effort you took in keeping this show clean. I could tell that you wanted to say one thing, but you, but out of respect for, you know, our new job here, you caught yourself. Much appreciated.
Yep.
Look, I have no idea what the contract between A&E and WWE is. So I'm telling you what I think, not what I know. But I am sure, in my mind at least, that WWE had editorial control over that show.
Okay. And my other thing is, not to cut you off, I'm very, very sorry. I have a lot in my mind on this. Why it seemed like Stephanie McMahon and Triple H were on a couple of other documentaries. And, of course, Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon was obviously on the Macho Man one, but it seemed like he didn't want to obviously be there. You know where I'm going with this? Is that rumor true, or is it a stupid rumor that I need to get out of my head?
Rumor you need to get out of your head. It's not real.
Okay.
Ditto that.
Okay.
Ditto
okay.
That.
So, but my thing is, okay, they brought you in, Mr. Bischoff. They brought you into the WWE. They brought Bret Hart back to the WWE. They brought everybody back. But why did it take a video game and this long for Randy Savage to come back to WWE and be in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know, Conrad, I can't answer that. Do you have a perspective?
Well, no, I mean, listen, if I'm honest with you, I don't think this is a secret, but the WWE doesn't want to have a Hall of Fame class where everyone's dead. I know that's not popular, but they are now in control, or at least in their minds, to sort of shape the narrative for professional wrestling and be the protector and end all be all for professional wrestling. So they don't want, when they have a Hall of Fame event, for it to be guys who need walkers or who are in wheelchairs or who are no longer with us.
Right.
Especially if they passed away early and people are going to, it wasn't like a car wreck. It was from some sort of self-inflicted damage, whether it's steroid abuse or prescription pills or what have you. So because of the early age that Macho passed away, I think they probably wanted to be selective, and you could probably figure out. And again, you want the heat? Here it is at ForTheHeat.com. They put a lady in every year, whether she's really Hall of Fame worthy or not. They put a tag team in every year, whether they're really Hall of Fame worthy or not. They put a minority in every year, whether they're really Hall of Fame worthy or not. And they put in a deceased person every year, whether they're Hall of Fame worthy or not. Now, that one's a little easier because there are a tremendous amount of no longer with us folks who can go in posthumously who really earned a Hall of Fame run. But it is a TV show. So I get a little chuckle when people say, oh, they shouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame, or oh, they definitely deserved it, or you know, they should have been in sooner. It's a TV show. It's a $5,000 check, a class ring that you could pick up at your local Walmart.
Yeah, wait a minute.
What did I say? That's not true, Eric.
It's not that it's not true. It's just the way you said it. Man, I'm still riding a little bit of high from my induction. And you're just making it sound like I showed up to do a spot at a local car commercial.
Well, here's my point. The real Hall of Fame in wrestling is when you wake up every day as the by God second largest landowner in Cody, except for Kanye West, and certainly the most famous, including Kanye West. That's the real Hall of Fame. You made a mark that did not deserve that. No one check from Vince McMahon, no one ring, no 1 5-minute promo. You were already in the Hall of Fame in our hearts and minds. Nobody can erase what you did and the impact you had.
But
well, you know, you and Molly Holly, your contributions were about the same. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a TV show. And I don't care when they put Macho Man in. I understand why it took a little longer. And it feels like maybe there were some personal issues. And maybe some of that was based on, and again, I don't think I'm speaking out of school here, the WWF was hurting for certain when he left. They're running high school gyms. And when he left, he took one of the biggest television sponsors they had.
Right.
And Vince McMahon, in Bruce's own words, he pulled $6 million out of his butt, and he didn't say butt, in order to fund the company. So had Vince McMahon closed up in, say, 94, he would have been $6 million richer than if he kept the doors open. Nobody talks about that. And then when Macho Man leaves, it's like, not only is he leaving, he's taking what, $1 million sponsor, a $500,000 sponsor with him. Well, where's that shortfall going to come from? Out of Vince McMahon's butt. So I understand if there was animosity, but I believe it's more based on financial and less based on rumor and innuendo.
But Hulk Hogan, the biggest star in the company's history, left to go to WCW.
Let's talk about that in context. As our buddy Eric says, context is king. Hulk Hogan was damn near untouchable.
Well,
Hulk Hogan had so much controversy around him because of the steroid stuff.
Vince thought
a little bit of separation, especially right now, while I'm on trial for my life, is probably not a bad thing.
Right.
So just freestyling, Hulk needed a fresh start. And boy, did it work out or what, brother? NWO for life. Come on. It worked out the way it was supposed to. Macho Man died a very wealthy man, and with, you know, one of the original loves of his life, he lived a great life, and you could not tell that watching that piece of crap on biography.
Right.
So there you go.
There's one little note to that too. It was a little different situation with Hulk Hogan. Hulk had already left WWF.
Yes.
He had been gone from WWF or E, whatever you want, WWE. He had been gone already. Well before he knew he was going to come to WCW. It wasn't like Hulk Hogan was at work one day in WWE and showed up on Tuesday in WCW. That wasn't the case.
And I was rolling the other day when you guys were talking about when the heat you guys would have with the NWO and the garbage would be thrown in the ring. So I was at the United Center when Dennis Rodman was there, and my goodness, at the end of the Nitro, the crud being thrown in the ring was amazing, and my best friend's girlfriend and now wife at the time would be looking at me like, what did you get me into? It was hilarious. I'll never forget that. That was just a funny moment. I mean, not funny for you guys, obviously, but I enjoyed all that heat. It was so much fun watching all that.
We chuckled all the way to the bank, brother.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. But thank you very much for everything. And Conrad, that Jeff Jarrett thing with Owen Hart. Oh my God! Like, I had a rough ending of the day, a little bit because of the ending of the show. But it was good. It was a very good podcast.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your call and all your support at adfreeshows.com. And by the way, if you want to call us, the phone lines are open right now at 855-484-3432. Eric, I think you're going to like next week's My World with Jeff Jarrett. We're talking all about Owen Hart. You can hear it early right now at adfreeshows.com. But we want to hear from you about WrestleMania Backlash, Ricky Starks, the Brian Pillman documentary, and so much more. Give us a shout one more time, 855-484-3432.
And we'll be back right after this. Do not go away, because we're also going to be talking about, this is the one, we're going to save this for our main event tonight, Jake Paul. We'll cover all that more when we get back. All right, welcome back. And yes, still to come, we're going to talk about the Floyd Mayweather-Jake Paul fight before the show is over. But Ricky Starks, Conrad. Severe neck injury. Was it? I think it was a fractured neck, correct?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be out for 3 months, and you hate to see it. I think recently I was talking to JR, and he said, man, this kid right here, he's got it. He's something special. And then I talked to Tony Schiavone, and Tony said, man, it is so apparent that this guy looked to The Rock for motivation and to sort of pattern his career. He was first breaking out on the mainstream scene over on NWA Power. Now he's with AEW, part of Taz's crew. And it feels like he's going to be down for the majority of the summer, which means he's going to miss their next big pay-per-view event here at the end of the month. And you just hate to see a talent like this go down. If you had some words of wisdom to impart to a young Ricky Starks, what might you say, Mr. Bischoff?
Embrace the opportunity. This is an opportunity for Ricky to focus on his character in his promos. I would spend as much time with a microphone in front of a mirror, hopefully with a good coach or a mentor, an Arn Anderson, perhaps somebody that's been around the block. And I would spend every minute working in front of a mirror, working with a coach, and perfecting my craft with a microphone. Because no matter how good of a performer he is physically or athletically, if he can't do the job when it comes to getting that character over with the audience, with the microphone, with his promos and his dialogue, he'll never reach his potential. This is actually, Ricky, if you end up hearing about this, this is a golden opportunity for you that you wouldn't have had you not been injured. So it's all how you look at it, man. You can either let it beat you, or you can beat it and take advantage of it.
And we don't want you to beat it. We want you to give us a call right now at 855-484-3432. And Eric, I think we have a caller right now.
Caller, what's your name and where are you from, my brother?
Michael from Ohio.
Hey, Michael, what's on your mind?
I just had two questions. One, what's your thoughts on AEW? Do you have any other appearances or anything? And what's your favorite Western movie?
All right. I like that. My kind of question. We're right here in the rodeo capital of the world. So a conversation about cowboy movies is apropos. What's my opinion of AEW? I'm excited for them. I'm excited to watch them. I love watching things grow. You know, building a wrestling business or any business, really. But watching them grow, watching them evolve. And I'll be honest with you, you know, when things don't go according to plan, and that always happens with live television, I like to see what people learn from it and how they come out of it and how they address it the next time. So I love watching their growth. I'm excited for them. I have a lot of good friends that are there. I've enjoyed participating and being a part of the show when those opportunities come up. In terms of when my next appearance is, if I knew, I wouldn't tell you. You know that. Come on now. I've got to keep that stuff to myself. Favorite cowboy movie, all time, hands down, Tombstone. Hands down.
Okay.
I got two guns, one for each of you. I love that line. Hopefully I'll get to use it someday, but I don't want to have to pull a gun on somebody to do it. So I'll just live it out in my head. Conrad, do you have a favorite cowboy movie?
You know, I'll be honest. I'm not really a Western guy. My parents, or my dad specifically, he's watched Westerns forever. So as a kid, I had to watch a lot of Bonanza and I had to watch a lot of Rifleman. As far as a favorite Western movie, I got to say the only one I remember watching is Tombstone. And anytime I see one of our listeners talking online about needing help with their mortgage, I always quote tweet it and show Val Kilmer with, "I'm your Huckleberry."
There were so many great lines in that movie. I mean, so. And we watched, my family's been watching that movie three or four times a year since it came out. We just, Garrett and I, when we get together, we always watch Tombstone. Love that movie.
Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. And if you want to pipe in and tell us what you think about WrestleMania Backlash this weekend, that great Brian Pillman documentary, or so much more, you can chime in at 855-484-3432. Eric, we didn't get a chance to talk about Blood and Guts last week, but AEW popped a big number. They were number one in cable, which is a big deal for them. They've never done that before. And when people are saying wrestling is down, I think it's worth mentioning. Raw was number one in cable on last Monday. AEW Dynamite was number one on cable last Wednesday. And believe it or not, SmackDown was number one on network this Friday. So when people are saying, "Oh, the business is down, look how few people are listening," it's hard to beat number one, Eric.
So that's number one on Monday, number one on Wednesday, number one on Friday.
Yeah, cable, and network. Come on.
Fox Network. That is pretty damn awesome. Kudos to everyone. Don't listen to the haters. Don't pay attention to the trolls on social media. You get up in the morning, which I know everybody that's actually in the business, you know, living in the business, they're all feeling pretty good about this, and they should.
Well, and we want to hear from you. You know, are you surprised that AEW Dynamite was number one? Give us a shout right now at 855-484-3432. And Eric, I think we have a caller right now.
Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello?
Hello.
All right, cool. My name is John. From Billings, Montana. Hey, Eric. Met you many times. Most recently at the Wild Ginger. You and your wife were having dinner. You graciously gave me an opportunity for a photo op. I'm also the guy that has the AEW tattooed on me.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Man, great comment there, Conrad. Honor to meet you as well at StarCast 2. First thing in the morning, got to meet you. Rocking those J's. Love it. That's how I saw you. Actually, I was walking down the hallway and I saw these pair of Jordans just sticking out and I was like, "Oh, that's got to be Conrad. I know it. So yeah, really, really honored to meet you, sir. Thanks, okay.
Man. Great to have you here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. The number one ratings. Wow. You know, this, I'm 40 years old and I ain't afraid to, you know, yell that out to the moon, but honestly, wrestling, professional wrestling at an all-time high with it being number one, watching it get to this stage, wow, it's intense. I love it. I love how both all, you know, companies are out there putting out their best. I just watched this really cool segment. It was kind of a homage to the Stone Cold beer bath that Pinnacle and the Inner Circle are doing. That was really super cool. Man, I mean, with the dark side of the ring, I know last week you guys were talking about that. I didn't get a chance to get in, but I do want to highlight on that. What a great opener on these Dark Side of the Ring Season 3 with Brian Pillman Jr. Fun story. I got to meet Brian Pillman Jr. at StarCast 2. He was on his way to his flight, and, you know, I waited all day for him, and I didn't get to see him. And literally the only thing that stuck out was his hair. And I was looking at it, and I was like, wait a minute, that's got to be Brian Pillman Jr. And walked right up, introduced myself. I showed him my ticket on my phone and got a photo op with him. But last but not least, to see this Dark Side of the Ring do a really cool segment on him. Eric, I wanted to ask you, what were your thoughts when you did the interview, kind of reminiscing about Brian Pillman himself?
Those are always tough for me, you know, and Conrad knows this. You know, we've been doing a podcast now for about 3 years, and whenever the subject comes up, you know, that involving anyone who, as I always say, not here to defend themselves, you know, I have to be as gracious and elegant as I can be, because I'm not thinking about anything other than what is the family that's going to hear this or see this feel. So I'm you know, it's always hard for me in that respect. It's a little harder for me when it involves someone that I was reasonably close to. You know, Brian Pillman and I weren't best friends by any stretch, but spent enough time working together, and we're honest enough with each other, for the most part, that we developed a pretty good relationship. And it's always hard talking about people that are no longer with us, because for me, honestly, it's still hard to believe. It's just, it doesn't compute for me still.
Yeah, that was a lot of these guys did a really good job. I mean, honestly, I know they've gotten the praises all the way around. I just really appreciate the way that they did the in-depth. Some of those stories, man, wow, cringeworthy. I can't wait to see the Confidential if they hopefully do that. Yeah, really, really, really intense. What do you think of the outcome now with Brian Pillman Jr. being able to see him on the big screen with AEW? What's your thoughts on Brian Pillman Jr.?
Conrad, you go first.
I think Brian Pillman is Brian Pillman Jr. is very young, and I'm really excited to see what's next with him. And I think Court Bauer probably deserves a little bit of credit for bringing him out into the light. I think MLW has really been sort of a proving ground for a lot of the folks that we see on TV on a regular basis now, including MJF. But I think Brian Pillman is now a real life baby face. He has the great pedigree. And I think as he continues to improve and his, you know, opportunities increase, he's going to be a superstar in the business. But I do think, you know, we need to temper our expectations. You know, there is no territory system anymore. So especially in a COVID era, he's probably getting to wrestle twice a month. And back in the day, his dad was wrestling 5 days a week. So it's probably going to be a little bit of time. And I think anytime you're sort of following in the footsteps of a legend like Brian Pillman, the expectations are through the roof. And I don't know, man. I think people need to be patient. I think that's probably the right word. Let's be patient and don't just assume that he's going to be his dad. He's going to be his own man, and his story is so different from his dad's, and it's going to have a much better ending too.
I think for my part, and we're going to have to jump to a break. I think for my part, from what I can see, Brian Pillman Jr. has his head on straight. He's got a great support system around him. Athletically, he looks to me like he's really evolving well, really ahead of his time, given the limited amount of action that he sees. Thank you for the call, brother. We got to take a quick break. All right, welcome back to For the Heat. I'm Eric Bischoff. Joining me, Conrad Thompson, all the way from Crimson Country, where they roll the tide. So, Conrad, we teased Jinder Mahal. We spent a little bit of time talking about, you know, Ricky Stark's injury. Before we get into Jake Paul and Floyd Mayweather, and before we hear about whatever this Kim Woods girl said about me, Jinder Mahal, what do you think about his return?
I'm glad he's back. You know, I think a lot of fans were probably unfair to him during the first title run that he had. You know, you look at this guy's journey through WWE, and he's been continuously employed for a long time now. And it felt like, you know, he was going nowhere fast once upon a time. And then he comes back and gets the mega push, becomes world champ. And I think a lot of that is based on the emerging market of India. And of course, you and I break down the business of professional wrestling every week over at 83weeks.com. And I think it's a great business move. You know, you need representation. It's more important now than ever. WWE is not an American company. They're a global brand. And I'm really excited that he's back. He's a nice guy. He listens to our podcast. He works hard. He's a very capable performer. And I think, you know, fans just weren't ready for him to be positioned as a top guy. But now that we've sort of gotten that under our belt, I hope we see him near the top of the cards. I know you think a lot of Baron Corbin, and I think Jinder Mahal can get that level heat and be a great representative for fans over in India. What say you?
No, there's nothing to disagree with. There are actually more people that watch Monday Night Raw in India than there are here in the United States every week. It is a massive market. And from a business perspective, the fact that they have Jinder Mahal, who is a tremendous talent with a ton of potential on the roster to be able to help position the brand in India, that's not only a smart move, that's a move you have to make. And I really hope it works out for him. I truly do. Now let's talk about this this Kim Woods woman. What did she say about me?
Before you do, we've got somebody who's been on hold for a long time. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 855-484-3432. But we've got a caller right now. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from? And what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, it's Rajiv from Sacramento.
Hey, Rajiv.
How are you?
Doing well. So I initially had called in about the comparing with the A&E biography on Macho Man, but you guys were just talking about Jinder and being an Indian. I think I can give a little insight on the Indian perspective of Jinder Mahal. So I personally love Jinder Mahal. I think he's doing great things. The modern day Maharaja character is so much better than anything he had done before that. But I think the problem for Indians with Jinder Mahal is the Maharaja character is not even close to anything in now. If this character had been around in like the 1800s, then perhaps this would be relatable. But I think right now for Indians, it's great seeing somebody of Indian origin get such a big push. And now he's got Veer and Shanky with him. So maybe they will make this push even bigger than what the Bollywood boys had done for Jinder before. Because I think with how big they are, it makes it more believable that it's going to be hard for people to beat Jinder if they're by his side. But it's going to be hard for Indians to relate to the Maharaja character because it is such an old-timey thing.
Ooh, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, that's the kind of thing that can happen when you've got a room full of American writers and producers and people who have grown up thinking they know about the Indian culture, but not really knowing about the pop culture in India or the appetite for characters in India. Wow. Really good observation there, Rajiv. Really good.
I have to admit that a lot of that did come from fellow top guy on ad-free shows, Bharat Sundaresan from Australia, but I agree with him 100%. There is just something missing with the connect of the modern day Maharaja with the modern day Indian fan.
Wow. Very good, man. Thanks for calling, Rajiv. You add to the show and we appreciate your call.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to speak with both of you. And Conrad, you're doing a fantastic job with everything. Thank you so much for everything. I can't wait to meet you in person one day. And same for you, Eric. It is going to be an honor once I get to do that.
I look forward to it, brother.
All right,
thanks, man. Appreciate the call and all that you do for us. And now it's that time where I get to fire up Eric Bischoff. So Kim Wood, who is the former strength coach back when Brian Pillman was a football player, was sort of his confidant, his consigliere, if you will, if this were Godfather 2, when he tried to pull the big stunt, or so they say, of getting a release from you so he could still collect paychecks from you, but not be under contract. Go flirt with ECW, get his brand a little bigger, get Vince McMahon to notice him, and then ultimately get a bigger contract from Vince McMahon. And you say, nope, I wasn't the ruse and all that. I knew that I couldn't pay Brian the money he wanted, so I allowed him the opportunity to have a release, go raise his value, and then maybe someday I could get him there. But he needed to, you know, increase his worth, his value to the company. And of course, Kim Wood says, nope, Bischoff was the mark, and he kept paying Brian. So you can respond now to Kim Wood for the first time. What say you, Eric? What did you think of Mr. Wood's words last week?
First of all, did he actually use the word mark?
No, he said you were a sucker.
Okay.
I think the word.
Okay. Okay. So here's the deal. There's a difference between being stupid and being ignorant. Most people use the terms interchangeably, but there's really a difference. I don't think Kim Wood, and now I don't know him, but if he was a strength coach, obviously he's had some success in his life, I would say he's not a stupid person. He's probably a very intelligent person. Have to be successful at anything that you do in life. You have to be reasonably intelligent. That doesn't mean that he's not ignorant. So what Kim Wood has done, or appears to have done, based on what you've said, is take the narrative that the STD of wrestling, Dave Meltzer, put out there and run with it and assume, Mr. Wood, that you know, if you hear this, what was going on in my mind. How could you possibly know what I was thinking? Because Dave Meltzer told you? Or because you were close to Brian, and I understand that, and you want to think that, you know, Brian, you know, was able to manipulate me and you know, make me look stupid and take advantage of me or whatever. And I understand that too. You were emotionally involved with Brian. You were close friends. You trained him. I get that. But Mr. Wood, you're ignorant in the literal sense of the definition of the word ignorant is lack of knowledge or information. You neither have the knowledge of what my position was and the challenges I was faced with and the conversations that I had with Brian. You know Brian's side of that story, and I'll give you that. You certainly don't know mine, and you certainly don't have the ability to get inside of my head. Therefore, Kim Wood, you may be good at teaching people how to throw weight around, but I guarantee you, Mr. Wood, you do not have the knowledge or the information from my side of the equation, which means, what does it mean, Kim Wood? You're ignorant. There's my response.
Well, I don't know that I necessarily disagree with that. I like Mr. Wood. I thought he was quite the character. He jumped off the screen. He made for great sound bites, but he did come off as a guy who, and this happens a lot in professional wrestling, people position themselves as, oh, I know everything. I'm the smartest guy in the room. And usually when someone's trying to tell you they're the smartest guy in the room, they're not.
That's kind of like Bubba the Love Sponge from the Randy Savage thing. Bubba's talking about all kinds of stuff, making it sound like he knew what he was talking about. Didn't. Same thing.
If you know what you're talking about, give us a call at 855-484-3432. And I think we have a caller right now. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from? And what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. It's Tyler from Springfield, Illinois.
What's up, Tyler? How are you tonight? What you thinking about?
Well, I'm a huge fan of 83 Weeks. I talked to both of you on Twitter. And Eric, I'm a huge fan, man. I've been watching you since I was like, I think I was 7 during the Nitro era, like 96, 97.
What are you, 40 now?
I got 2 kids, so I feel like it.
No, I say that so I don't feel any older myself. But thank you very much, brother. Thank you.
I got a question. What do you guys think about the name WrestleMania Backlash?
I love it. I think WrestleMania as a brand, just the word itself, it is the most valuable property in sports entertainment. Obviously, WWE is a bigger brand, but when you just ask people on the street, about half as many people that say WWE still call it WWF. But one thing they never get wrong is WrestleMania. The show is an instant sellout every year. Even in a COVID year, they broke all the records in this COVID era. And I think it is a genius move. Rather than just call it Backlash, as they have for 20 years, call it what it is, WrestleMania Backlash, and it automatically feels bigger to sponsors, to advertisers, to Peacock. Just throwing the word WrestleMania in there makes it bigger. I like it, and I get it from a business sense, and I hope they continue it. Eric, what say you?
I would like to agree 100%, but I'm going to throw a little bit of a wrench into it. Calling it WWE Backlash makes a ton of sense if the matches that are on that card represent some kind of backlash to WWE or to WrestleMania. If they call it WrestleMania Backlash and there's no relationship storyline-wise to WrestleMania, then I think they're diluting the WrestleMania brand by putting something out there that didn't have anything to do with WrestleMania, and they're just leveraging the WrestleMania brand, as you pointed out.
But here's the deal. They are. You know, let's not forget that Damian Priest was in that mixed tag with Miz. Well, they're doing it again here. Now, instead of a mixed tag, one-on-one. And, of course, Asuka and Rhea Ripley had a great match at WrestleMania. And originally, Charlotte Flair was supposed to be in that match at WrestleMania, making it a three-way. But through a series of different events, that didn't happen. That match is finally happening here. So I think there's something to it. Even Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre, they were in a title match at WrestleMania. Well, they're doing it again here, but with Braun Strowman added to the mix. So I think there is enough, as you like to say, connective tissue to make this work. I love the branding, WrestleMania Backlash.
All right, man. We're going to have to wrap this up in a few minutes and get to a break. Not a few minutes. In a short not quite two minutes. So thank you for the call, caller. Appreciate it very much and love all your support. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, let's mention one other thing. You know, we talked about AEW Blood and Guts and how it was number one in cable. We didn't talk about what everybody was talking about when the show was over, and that was Jericho's big bump off the cage. I ran a poll on Twitter over at Hey, it's Conrad, and I asked people, is it time that people in wrestling stop falling off of things? And 61% of the folks who voted, over 7,000 votes, by the way, agreed. It is time to stop falling off of cages and whatnot. What about you, Eric? Would you say it's time, or there's still value in it?
No, there's time. It was time a long time ago. We've seen it. We've been there. We've done it. Now, here's the real issue. And it's funny. We're just talking about Ricky Starks, you know, injury. You guys, you know, getting thrown off the tops of cages. One of two things are going to happen. It's going to be performed 100% safely, in which case it's not going to live up to the expectations that guys like Mick Foley and Shane McMahon have kind of set before that. It'll be less than. You can't compete with those kinds of bumps any longer without the, you know, risking serious injury to people, and I just don't think it's appropriate anymore. So if you're not going to do it at least as well as, if not better than, you know, some of the big cage bumps or, you know, coming off the top of a cage, you know, kind of spots that we've seen in the past. If you can't meet or exceed those, don't do them. I just don't think it's worth it anymore.
But what is worth is us doing a break. We're going to be doing a break. But first, I want to give you the number. Give us a call. Talk to us on the other side. 855-484-3432. And Eric, I think we'll be back right after these words.
All right, we are back at For the Heat. Conrad, this show is feeling tight, man. I like it.
Dude, I think we're becoming like decent radio broadcasters. This is like an accident. I don't know how we did it. And people keep calling in. I think we've got a caller right now. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from? What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. This is Lenny Bakken in Wisconsin. How you doing?
Well, I'd be better if I had you locally. Of course, if you're listening and you've got some money kicking around and you need who to send it to Lenny Bakken. He's going to help you grow some cash. But tonight we're talking about wrestling. Lenny, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Thanks, Conrad. So I just had a question on one of your first topic with Brian Pillman. So I'm wondering from Eric's perspective, thinking back, if he can, to when Brian passed away and what he heard about or what he saw on the next night on Raw with the decision that they made to put Melanie Pillman on there on Raw that next night, and kind of what his thoughts are on that, what he thinks their motivation was. And, you know, I know hindsight is 2020, but what he thinks he would have done differently had it happened in Nitro era, or if it would happen WCW.
It's always tough, Lenny, because if I'm honest, I have to say I just don't know what I would have done. You know, it's really, you know, you touched on it, man. 2020 hindsight's perfect. It's always perfect. And I don't know what I would have done. I don't think, in all honesty, I would have put Melanie on the show. I wouldn't have put someone's wife on the show right after he was, you know, right after he died. I just wouldn't do it. But I don't know. It depends on the circumstances, I guess. If it's something that Melanie wanted to do, then I would probably entertain it. But
come on, she didn't want to.
No,
do
I know
it.
That. No. I'm not saying she did. I'm saying for me, if I was in that spot, and Melanie or anybody, a wife or a husband of someone who passed away in the ring, said, "Man, I really want to say goodbye to his fans," I would make that happen. But I wouldn't approach someone and ask them to do it. I'm pretty certain under any circumstances that would be the case.
Well, here's the worst part of it. And by the way, I love Vince McMahon. I want to say that up front. I think he is the Walt Disney of wrestling. I'm a huge fan. But I think it might be the worst thing we've ever seen him do. Well, not only did he have Melanie on there, and if we're honest, he had her on there to sort of save face and defend his company and make it a PR spin, just CYA. But then he asks her, how do you plan to provide for your 5 kids now that Brian's dead? A day after he dies, now we're asking, hey, what's the plan to pay the bills? That's just horrible, Eric. Like, I can't imagine, like, and I know it would never happen now, but my goodness, what an awful segment. Maybe the worst in WWE history.
I don't disagree. That way it was weird to watch. It really was weird to watch. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, was it also a ratings ploy? Because in 1997, yep, WWE and Monday Night Raw was getting curb stomped on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that, I guess in a weird way, you should fall on your sword. This is all your fault. I mean, had you not been kicking Vince's ass, he wouldn't have felt like he needed to be so desperate and put a gun in Brian Pillman's hand on TV. And then, you know, a year and a half later, this happens. So in a weird way, this is all your fault, Eric, and I'm not going to let you off the hook. And by the way, I'm going to convince you to watch Dark Side of the Ring this Thursday because it's an incredible story. If you don't know the Nick Gage story and you can hear my voice, the guy robbed a bank and he died wrestling and they brought him back to life. And the zombie version of him is on TV tomorrow night on Vice, but we're going to be back next week at ForTheHeat.com. This is fun, Eric. I'm already looking forward to next week.
We didn't get to talk about Jake Paul. We'll have to save it.
Always time for Jake Paul, buddy. We'll get him next week.
All right. See you next week. Thanks for joining us.